Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy, everybody. This is Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 22nd, 2011, episode 168, sponsored by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what? It's Wednesday.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
We have a show on Wednesday.
It's true.
It's time to go out to the barn. Let him out and work my arm. It's kind of like a meditation. Sort of like yoga, my religion. I get in a trance-like state as I pitch and as I race. The smell of manure and sweet grass hay. What a beautiful way to start your day. I'm 5 foot, but I never feel as tall as when I'm cleaning stalls.
Well, happy hump day, everybody. It is Wednesday. You're halfway there.
Wednesday.
You just got to get through this day, and then you're, like, going down the hill to the weekend, so it's getting closer. And I hope did you guys have any bear or wolf encounters again last night, Glenn, or is everything okay?
No, we were okay. I was looking for him, but didn't see him around. I guess he was gone. Sumiko thought I should have called the police. She was all mad at me.
That's what I said. I'm like, you just watch a wolf walk by through your neighborhood. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, you have to listen to yesterday's show where Glenn was out mowing the grass and just a wolf just passed right by and he just watched it go. And you would think that most people would call, you know, animal control or their neighbors. Glenn, nope, he just walked
by. Yeah,
but
what were they going to do? He was long gone by then. By then he'd have been gone. He'd have been a mile down the road. Nobody'd ever see him again. Now back into the woods where he belonged.
Oh, okay.
You know, I figured he was just, you know, he looked healthy. He looked fat. I figured he was just eating cats along the way. Probably had a cat diet.
Well, it's a good thing your beast was inside. You have a kitty cat, too.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. You've met the beast. He would have won. He would have eaten the wolf.
Oh, yeah.
That wolf would have been running in terror with the beast hanging onto its face with the claws in his eyeballs. That's what would have happened.
That statement right there, Glenn, continues my belief that people that own cats are insane. I think so.
Weren't you just talking about getting a little kitty when your husband was alive?
Well, I didn't say I wasn't insane either, Glenn. I mean, misery loves company. We all love the people that are closest to us. It's similar. But anyway, on a side note here, we talked a little bit about Zenyatta yesterday, Glenn, and I found out that, you know, if anybody has a successful horse at all, they compare it to the horse that was the most recently successful. We had that horse, Black Caviar, over in Europe that has been racing. Is like 18 for 18 right now. Amazing filly. And she was compared to be the next Zenyatta, the new Zenyatta. Well, there is another new Zenyatta that you have not heard about, Glenn. This horse, this mare has been racing, and she has won 18 straight. She is 18-0, has never been beaten, whipped colts in major stake races. She has won more than $1 million. Have you ever heard of this horse?
What's the name of the horse?
The name of the horse is See You at Peeler's. See You at Peeler's. No, you've never heard of it. You know why?
No.
Because it's a harness racing horse. And her sport is calling her the Zenyatta of harness racing. So I am, for one, all about female empowerment. And I love the fact that there's a new mare that is just completely wiping away the boys at any at every race, every distance. But here's the problem that I have with See You at Peeler's. You know where I'm going with this?
I just...
Again,
I was thinking,
beautiful
okay,
horse.
Now, I was thinking, See You at Peeler's. I was thinking, what's Peeler's? And the first thing that came to mind was an old-fashioned ice cream shop on Main Street in some little town in America.
Yeah, it's not at all. See You at Peeler's. It's such a great story. This mare, she's 18-0. She's beating all the boys. And her name, oh, God, why do people do this to racehorses? Her name, See You at Peeler's, is an inside joke by a former owner in the stable, and he would always say, See You at Peeler's tonight. That's a strip club. Peeler's is a freaking strip club. Now you know why this horse is so famous. They have cursed this mare, See You at the booby bar. You know, my God. $1 million once, and I'll see you
Jennifer,
at the strip club.
Well, Jimmy Tactor is the trainer. You have to see if we can get Jimmy on. That ought to be fun.
Good Lord. She is a candidate for the Hamiltonian this year, and she's supposedly going to have even a bigger season. And the funny thing is that this guy's wife is involved in naming the horse, too, so maybe there's like a great side to it. But
I read an article the other day that the largest growing population going to strip clubs now is not dirty old men, it's women. So maybe she goes too.
Maybe she does. I don't know. But we need to talk to him or her or somebody involved.
See it?
Yeah. I want to say the word I call it, but I'm not
allowed to. That's going to become a thing on the show now. You know that, don't you?
See you, Peeler's. Okay, have a great day.
Jennifer, what's coming up?
On today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, we open up with an update from Cowboy Chris. You may remember Cowboy Chris is riding across his way across the United States to raise money for Heroes for Children, a group that helps kids fighting cancer. And he's having quite the adventure. And I hope you all have had breakfast already, because thehorse.com is here with their usual super science weenie, gloriously gross, impressively interesting horse health report. Stay tuned.
And I got something, too, for you today. You know, Wednesday's kind of, you know, over the hump day, and we try and do something a little bit non-horsey once a week. So, but, you know, all of us do other things other than horses. So I have something for you today that Jamie's just going to get a kick out of. Jamie, for those of you that don't know, is kind of a health food weenie. She eats, you know, she doesn't eat meat, and she's a vegetarian, and she eats tofu and all that crap. Well, I have the 20 worst restaurant foods in America for you today, Jamie. So this is going to be your opportunity to just gloat. Just gloat.
I'm going to take notes is what I'm going to do. I mean, good Lord, don't ever eat this. Okay, done. Check. Off.
Well, and I got to tell you, two things happened when I went over this list this morning when I was prepping for the show. One is I got extremely hungry. And two is I kept going, oh, my God, I can't believe that has that many calories. And what they used was calories. It was menshealth.com. And what they used was calories and fat, you know, combining the two. So to make it – and you'll be surprised. I thought that most of them would be fast food. They're not. They're regular – they're like chain restaurants, most of them. So – You're going to have an interesting time with that this morning, busting everybody's chops who eats meat.
So most of them are meat related. Okay, good to know. Good to know.
There are, believe it or not, some salads in there too. Some
salads. Oh yeah.
All right, here we go. Daily Weenie. My Daily Winnie goes out to an unusual place today, and that is the Joplin, Missouri Tornado Recovery Facebook team. They have done an unbelievable job with this. That Facebook page has really become the go-to place for people to in Joplin to find out about the tornado recovery efforts. They post everything on there, from where water is going to be distributed to, you know, to the recovery efforts. They have interesting conversations that go on that page. Just search for Joplin, MO, and you'll find their page. They have 170,000 fans now, and I have just been so impressed. Whoever is doing that knows their way around social media and is doing a fantastic job. And I wanted to tell you, too, Jamie, that I have a quick update from the Red Cross. As of yesterday, these are the facts. Since March 31st, the Red Cross has launched 42 relief operations in 29 states, helping tornado, flood, and wildfire victims all over this. You realize there's fires now burning, massive fires burning in Florida, Texas, and your state of Arizona, serving more than 3 million meals and snacks. This is just since March, 2.5 months, opening more than 270 shelters and providing 31,000 overnight stays for people. There are still shelters open in 10 states across the United States, providing more than 68,000 mental health consultations, handing out $1.3 million relief items, that's like toothbrushes and shampoo and stuff, and deploying more than 12,000 disaster relief workers from all 50 states. So it just goes on and on. They expect now, and this is an interesting statistic too, they expect that these relief efforts just since March are going to cost $51 million. And over the past 3 months, I'm happy to report, with a little bit of help from us, the Red Cross has raised more than $68 million for the disaster response. So they're actually ahead of the game a little bit. So congratulations. Yeah, that deserves applause for everybody donating. Plus, get this, nationally the Red Cross must raise $378 million annually to respond to an average of 70,000 disasters each year. And these major disasters over the past several weeks adds an additional 51,000 to that amount. So of that 70,000, 80% of the responses that they go to every year are just house fires, single-family house fires. Every single-family house fire in America, where there are Red Cross units, that's part of what I used to do, where there are Red Cross units, have people that respond. So when the call goes out to the fire department, a call also goes out to the Red Cross if it's going to be totaled. And a Red Cross representative in the middle of the night goes to that house to meet with the family and make sure that they have a place to stay and everything. That's at every – can you imagine? I mean,
that's amazing.
How cool is that?
Well, that's amazing. It just goes to show you that they need continued donations. I was shocked to learn that the Red Cross is not a government-funded program.
And it is
shocking that – not to be whatever, but that's probably why it runs so well. It's run by individuals who volunteer their time and take it very seriously. So, keep those donations coming. You can still go to Horse World Gives Back and make a donation there. HorseWorldGivesBack.com. Make a donation to the Red Cross or the Equine Disaster Relief Fund on any of these charities that are there that respond to help in disasters. And there's nobody more, on top of things than the Red Cross.
That's correct. Do you have a Daily Winnie for us?
I do.
Oh.
I can't believe that we missed this one. We missed something yesterday, and I guess sometimes things just slip through the cracks, but we've got to tighten up ship. I would like to say happy birthday to Tammy Sharance of the Western Radio Show. It was her birthday yesterday, and we didn't even say anything to her. So I would like to give her a round of applause and wish her
happy birthday, Tammy.
And I didn't even realize it until I saw this post from her last night. It says, "Thanks, guys, so much for the messages. I went shopping all afternoon and went out to supper in the evening with friends. What a blessed life. Roll on, roller coaster. I feel you, girl." sometimes you just have to say that to yourself. Roll on, roller coaster. So I love that. And Tammy, happy birthday. Sorry we missed it yesterday.
She is amazing. And she has a full-time job. She works as PR director for ACTA, the Trail Riding Association. And she also goes, and she's taking a full boat of classes, three classes at college to try and finish her degree. And she's the host of one of our shows here. Plus, she still competitively rides in shooting competitions across the United States.
If you look at her Facebook page, Glenn, the photo is her standing on a horse. And on the top is her sponsors. There's like logos of her sponsors around the photos. And then on the bottom, there's a big Horse Radio Network logo, a CMSA, the Competitive Mountain Shooting Association. The ACTA is on there. Like, you can barely see Tammy through all the stuff she has going on this picture because she's so busy. So we do wish her a happy birthday, and hopefully she had a great day. Sounds like she did.
All right, cool. And we're going to be coming up. Jennifer's trying to locate Cowboy Chris, and we're going to have him on shortly. Do you want to refresh everybody a little bit about Cowboy Chris and what happened since we talked to him last?
Yes. Let's see. Cowboy Chris is a cancer survivor. He survived cancer. He then decided that he was going to ride from Dallas, Texas to New York City to raise money for an organization called Heroes for Children. Now, here's the deal. Cowboy Chris is not riding one horse up there. He is riding one horse and ponying three or four other ones along the way. His goal was originally to raise $3,000, 1 mile for every mile of his round-trip adventure. But do you remember that was his goal? And we were like, dude, you can do better than that. Well, on his website now, the goal is actually $15,000 for him to raise. So I'm glad that he's upped it a little bit. You can also watch his progress online as well. So we're going to talk to him. Is he on the line, Glenn?
Yep, he's ready.
Hey, Chris, how are you? Good morning.
Morning, how are you doing?
Well, we're doing good. I thought I heard hoofbeats, so I thought maybe you were here. So where are you, I guess, is the best question.
I'm actually leaving Chambersburg, Pennsylvania right now.
Oh, you're in our old stopping ground. Yeah, Chambersburg. Yeah.
You've made it a long way since we last talked to you. So I guess, you know, the question is, how's it going? I mean, just tell us a little bit about what's been going on since we last spoke to you a couple months ago.
It's been going really good. I've met a lot of really nice people and everything. Met some families that and they're either still battling the cancer or their children have gone into remission. So it's been really good.
So you're riding along. I forgot. Tell everybody about the horses you have with you.
Well, I've got four horses with me, and they're all doing real good. The one I'm on right now, he's a little ornery, but not too bad.
You think you would have ridden that orneriness out of him by now.
Oh, you would think, but no, he likes to get up and go. So it's a constant keeping a tight rein on him, because if you ease up a little bit, then he likes to keep the speed in.
So,
you can get to New York in half the time, Chris.
Yeah, that's what he's trying to do, I guess.
So you're going down the road. Are you riding along freeways? Are you riding along side streets? Where are you? What is your main avenue?
Well, what I'm doing is I'm riding down the old highway that runs coincide with the interstate. So right now I'm riding up 11 North.
Okay, that's what I mean.
We know Route 11 North because we used to live there. That is one hairy road to ride a horse on.
There is some moments it's a little tight, yeah.
And he's sitting here on his cell phone talking this from the 11. So,
Chris, you're not.
Good Lord. Good Lord. Now, Chris, when we talked to you last time, you had a you had an interesting sponsor that was riding along with you, and that was Hooters. Is Hooters still kind of on board with you? Or are you still getting a lot of hot wings?
As far as I know, they still are. It's just where we're at right now, there just hadn't been very many of those stores. But, yeah, they've been real good on helping and everything like that.
Wow, that's amazing. So are you...
Oh,
hey,
Chris,
you...
Wait a minute. It's been tough on you having to stop at Hooters and see the pretty girls, too, I bet. That's been tough, huh?
Well, I mean, the scenery's not bad. It's a little young.
Yeah, I think I remember him saying that last time. They were a little bit younger than he was going for.
So, that's for all his friends listening. That's why he said that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Chris, are you a single guy?
I'm sorry, did you say again, ma'am?
I said, are you single?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, ladies. There's a guy going down Highway 11 right now. Go on and get him. He's got an extra horse for you. You can ride along with him.
Have you had anybody ride along?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that last part.
Have you had anybody ride along with you on the way?
Yeah. I've had one girl named Shauna. She actually works for Hooters. And she rode with me for, I'd say, about 3 weeks. And then she had to get back to work. She had to fly back and everything. And then I had another gentleman. He rode with me for a while. And then when I got here to Virginia and all that, this one girl, she had been keeping up with us on the trip. Her name is Stacy. And I rode past a friend of hers' house, and her friend called her and said, hey, there's a guy riding horses down the street. So she knew who it was, so she came and tracked me down. And I stayed at her place for a couple of days, let the horses rest. And her friend Denise is a photographer. So her friend, Denise, she rode with me for about a week and then had to get back to some jobs that she had set up. But she actually is planning on catching up with me about the 1st of July and riding some more with me.
This is so cool. Okay, listen, you got to be honest with me here. You started out to raise money for kids, but which is a great thing. But I know so many women that they just get squishy over this kind of stuff. Do you think you have formed any budding romances, Cowboy Chris?
Could I form one? I'm so set in my ways. I like to come and go as I please, so I don't know if a woman could put up with that. I have no problem trying to, but I'm set in my way.
Oh, that's fantastic, because I'm sorry, ladies, Chris is a cutie. You can find him on his Facebook page. Just search for Horse Ride for Heroes. And the photos on the wall, the info, and I love the updates that you give us every day. And they're kind of like, hey, I'm having a great day. Hope yours is good. And every single one, you're just so positive. And like yesterday, it's not hot today. We're on 11 heading to Chambertown. That was last night. And then hope everybody's having a good day. It's raining today. Still on 11. So you can get these great updates, but you're so positive with your Facebook updates and messages, and I really appreciate that, because I'm sure you've had some bad days. What do you think the worst day you've had so far on this journey is?
Oh, I'd have to say probably the worst day I had in the journey was I was in Memphis, and one of the ladies, I had the horses tied up. They're having one of the fundraisers. And this lady walked by and was like, oh, this is cruel. And I looked at her. I'm like, what is? And she said they can't even put their feet down on their back leg. I looked at her and I was like, ma'am, that's how they relax.
Oh, my God.
Each of them had one of their back feet cocked where it was right on the tiptoe. And
Which every horse in the world does.
Right. And she just kept on. So there were some guys standing next to me, and one of them is standing like people do when they're relaxing, where they got all their weight on one leg and not on the other. And I looked at the guy, and I was like, sir, are you okay? Is your leg broke? I see you're not standing on it.
You.
And that kind of shut her up real quick, and she walked off.
Good for you.
That's probably about the worst day.
So tell me, how far are you?
Otherwise, it's been really good. I've met a lot of real good people. I'd have to say probably the highlight of my trip is when I meet the kids.
Yeah.
The kids about the highlight of my trip.
How have you done toward the fundraising?
To be honest, I have no idea. That's with the foundation. I try to let everybody know that I'd rather them give the money online versus try to give it to me, because I don't want to handle the money.
Right. Yeah. Well, I can certainly understand that. And are you going to be riding into New York City itself? Is that the idea? Or?
Yes, sir. Yeah, there's actually a friend of mine that's checking in to seeing about getting a police escort. Supposed to get a hold of her in a couple of days.
Yeah, I know. We had Kathleen, who rode across the country, tried to do that as well and ran into all kinds of bureaucratic stuff. So I'll tell you what would help you in that mission is if you can get yourself on the Today Show or Good Morning America or one of those, they actually get it done for you. Otherwise, it's a difficult process to get the police to cooperate in New York City. So, because they worry about traffic and they worry about safety and stuff.
Well, the good thing is the girl doing that, the person she's going through, used to be a police officer there. And now he's with the fire department, so that should help.
I think you should get on Today's Show anyway.
That would help bring out the awareness on the children, so, man, whatever it takes to get that out there, that'd be the best for me.
You always see everybody waving in the windows and, like, going, hey, I'm from, Topeka, Kansas. They've signed. I would pay money to see four horses standing outside those windows and a rope going around and interviewing people like, hey, there's a guy with horses here. Oh, my God, that would be classic. You would get so much attention. I think that would be awesome. You got to do that.
We got to find a producer over at Today Show. Got to find a producer. Well, that's great, Chris.
It's been really good.
Well, Chris, I'm on your website right now, and it says that, you're looking to raise $15,000, and so far we're at, originally it was $3,000. So you've passed that mark, Chris, and now we're up to $4,212. So you can go to his website. It's active.com, and then donate, and then Horse Ride for Heroes. You can just Google or Facebook Horse Ride for Heroes. It'll take you to that website, and you can donate there. You're not asking for hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You're asking for a donation of $20, $50, $100, and then, you can make whatever you want. But I think that's fantastic that you're not like, you're not hitting up everybody for ridiculous amounts of money. Anybody can donate $20 for Chris and his goal of helping the children. When you go and you've helped kids and you've met kids, Chris, what are their reaction to the horses? Because we all know horses are healers.
Their main reaction is they try talking me out of my horse. they want to keep the horse.
Oh, my gosh.
But, no, the reaction's really good. The kids get really excited. I actually have to say probably the couple of the highlighted parts with the kids was I was asked to stop at this one school, and the school was for physically and mentally challenged children. And just seeing the looks on those kids' faces when they're petting the horses, I mean, that right there, that made the ride 110% worth it.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. Well, we certainly are proud of you, and we really appreciate what you're doing. And, you know, everybody, again, you can check him out at Horse Ride for Heroes on Facebook. And search for him there. Find his website on activegiving.com. And we just, you know, we just really appreciate what you're doing. I'd like to catch up with you again as you're getting a little further down the road, if you don't mind.
Oh, I don't mind at all, ma'am.
All right, fantastic. All right, sweetie. Ladies, single cowboy riding along 11. He's cute. Go up there and get him.
Thanks,
we wish
Chris.
You the best of luck, Chris. Thanks.
Y'all have a good afternoon.
Bye.
Isn't it fun? You can hear the clippity clop on the road there.
I know. That's so cool. That is so cool. What a great guy for doing that. And he sounds like he's having a great time meeting a lot of people. And he's certainly taking his time. So it doesn't seem like he's trying to press too much into one day. So,
but you know what? He's extremely honest, too, to your question. He's like, you know what? You're going to live with me. It's by my rules. I'm going to do what I want.
Which sounds like a cowboy.
I don't know, woman holding me back.
I don't know. She ain't going to get it with me. Whatever. I'm looking for it, but I ain't going to keep it.
I ain't going to keep it. No, you ain't staying. That last one only lasted 3 weeks, and this next one was a week, and the next one's going to be 2 days.
She's riding with me, and she left already.
Yeah, she's gone. She's had enough. All right, the sponsor for today's show is Back on Track. We appreciate them being part of it. Let's hear from Back on Track. And when we come back, we have the 20 worst restaurant foods in America. Well, hi, Bo, and welcome back to Horses in the Morning.
Thank you.
Well, you know, Bo, I wanted to talk to you this week. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about using the mesh sheet and how that really covered the back and, you know, a larger portion of the horse itself. And then last week, we covered the saddle pad to use when you're riding. I wanted to talk to you about the leg wraps today. When should you use the leg wraps? And you have a couple of different kinds.
Yes, all of our leg wraps work the same. It's best result is to use it overnight. If you don't have them indoors overnight, you can put them on a couple hours a day and you will see some effect, but that's the result you will have for overnight.
So these are not wraps that you would put, you would turn them out in? It's better
no,
to...
No, okay. Indoor wraps.
Okay, so all of your wraps are these particular ones are indoor. And what benefits do we see to the legs?
You're going to see that the legs tighten up because of the increase of blood circulation, and the legs are going to be tight and cool. Wind puffs disappear or get softer. Especially horses are stuck up at night, you will see a big difference with this kind of wraps on.
So it doesn't really matter what discipline we're doing. They're going to benefit almost anybody, whether English or Western or trail riders.
Oh, any horse will be helped on this. Because the horses stuck up in the legs, it's because of poor blood circulation. And our leg wraps, the increased blood circulation 50% in second of accounts.
Did you see them being used more front legs, back legs, or all four?
Most people use all four, but the horse usually stuck up in the hind before they stuck up in front.
Okay, so if you're going to get two, they could also rotate them if they had a pair, or are there separate sizes for front and back?
Separate sizes come 12, 14, and 16 inch. And some people want all the four leg wraps on you. You know, they help the horses, of course, if you can wrap all four legs to stay sounder.
All right, cool. And you can find out more information on the Back on Track leg wraps. You can find that at backontrackproducts.com, along with all the other products. And we've talked about the mesh sheets and the saddle pads, and we're going to continue talking about other products as we go down the road here. Well, thank you again, Bo, for continuing to be a sponsor of Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you being on.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good day.
Well, that's Back on Track Products. And again, thank you so much for continuing their sponsorship of Horses in the Morning. You know, makes you wonder with the content we have on here some days why anybody does, but. Hey, you know, I like to talk about stuff other than horses occasionally. And, you know, when we started this show, we said, you know, it's not going to be 100% horse talk because horse people do other things too. Well, one of the other things that we do and that I'm known for is food. I just love to eat. And, you know, I think most of us love to eat. You know, it's a common thing. And, you know, sometimes I'm going to make a generalization here, Jamie, and I think you probably agree with this. most horse people don't have very good diets because we're in a hurry. We're rushing around. We're stopping. You're eating a lot. The ones I know eat a lot of fast food. And, you know, if you're on your way back and forth with the horse trailer, you got to pull it. You can't go into a sit-down restaurant with the horses in the trailer. And you got to pull into a place where you can actually park the damn thing. So you end up at fast food a lot. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just what happens, you know?
Well, especially just during horse show weekends, especially, you know. But if you're running back and forth to the barn, you don't have time for dinner. Yeah, so you're not always making the healthiest choices.
Well, we're going to help you identify the 20 worst restaurant foods in America. This was done by menshealth.com, and it's determined by calories and fat content, okay?
Okay.
So that's how they determine these, and we got a wide variety here, but you're going to be amazed at how few are actually fast food. But number, by the way, do you have a guess as to what's the worst one?
Yeah, I do, because I don't think that I've seen or tasted anything that could possibly be worse for you than a blooming onion from Outback Steakhouse.
Okay, keep that in mind. Keep that in mind.
Okay.
You are right. It's not the worst, but it's certainly up there. I can't believe that you got that. By the way, do you like them?
Glenn, as a vegetarian, going to Outback Steakhouse for a business lunch with a former boss took me to Outback Steakhouse, and there's nothing that I can eat. I mean, there's like a side salad. And he's like, oh, you're a vegetarian. I'm sorry. I'll take the steak, and she'll have a blooming onion. So they bring me a blooming onion.
Which, by the way, is the size of a pie plate.
Yeah, it's horrible. But then you're with, like, a potential boss, you know, the job interview, and I'm like, oh, my God, how am I going to get around? Like, it's like almost wish I had a dog underneath the table so I could feed it to him and look like I ate something. But it was horrible. It was horrible, horrible. So I had to imagine that was on the list.
Well, Jennifer, by the way, loves blooming onions. And, you know, some of the foods on here, I absolutely love these foods, but I was shocked at the calorie content. By the way, Jennifer and I are still working on this weight loss thing. I'm 12 pounds now. I think I'm doing pretty good.
Wow.
Yeah.
You are not going to do it by having blooming onions and donuts, my friend.
By the way, if you're hungry, don't listen to this next section. It's just going to make
it
worse. All right, number 20, fast food chicken meal. The worst one is Chicken Selects premium breast strips from McDonald's. 5 pieces with a creamy ranch sauce. There are actually 830 calories in those 5 pieces of chicken and 55 grams of fat. And get this.
Yeah, so Glenn, let me just tell you that anything with the word McDonald's in it is not going to be good. So let's do a McDonald's count on this list, shall we? Number 20, chicken McDonald's.
Okay. And actually, that's the last time you're going to see McDonald's.
No.
And if you add a large fry and a regular soda, it's 1,700 calories in one
good
meal.
Good God.
All right, number 19 is a drink, and it's the Jamba Juice Chocolate Moo Powder Smoothie, and that's from Ben & Jerry's. And they pretty much just say anything in Ben & Jerry's, just forget it.
Yeah, you know what you're getting into when you go to Ben & Jerry's. I mean, you're looking for fat.
By the way, that drink is 900 calories in that drink, and 166 grams of sugar in there.
Good Lord.
All right. Now a supermarket meal, the worst supermarket meal, and Jennifer's going to cringe because we used to eat these all the time. Pepperidge Farms roasted chicken pot pie. The little tiny pot pies you get. The little you buy in the grocery store. There are 1,020 calories in that little tiny pot pie and 64 grams of fat.
Oh, my gosh.
What kind
of chicken is that?
They did say that you can pick a better pie. Swanson's pot pie, little personal pot pie, has only 400 calories. So I guess you really should read the labels if you're getting little frozen pot pies. Because, and we used to eat those all the time. And then we made them worse because we take a little pot pie, which are pretty boring, by the way. You take a little pot pie, but they're fast and easy and cheap. They cost like cents. But you take mashed potatoes and you put the pot pie over the mashed potatoes, and then it's really good.
You smother in cheese too. Heart attack on a plate.
Oh, that would even be better. All right, number 17, the worst healthy burger. Ruby Tuesdays wins this one. Ruby Tuesday's Bella Turkey Burger. This is a turkey burger that weighs in at 1,145 calories with 71 grams of fat.
What? What do they put on it besides turkey?
It kind of looks like cheese, and it kind of looks like cheese and I don't know.
Onion rings and
oh, there's mushrooms
mayonnaise.
On there. They must. They got to be bad for you because they taste so crappy. Mushrooms on there.
That's gross.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, they said the healthier choice at Ruby Tuesdays would be to skip the burgers entirely.
Yeah, would be to not eat there. Go ahead.
Now, Mexican entree, Chipotle, the restaurant, the Chipotle Mexican Grill.
I love them.
I know, I do too, and they're on here a couple times, I hate to tell you. Chipotle's Mexican Grilled Chicken Burrito comes in at 1,200 calories with, get this, 2,600 milligrams of sodium.
Oh, man. So the chicken is way bad at that place, huh?
Well, no, but I don't think it's the chicken that's causing the problem there. I think it's everything that's in the burrito that's causing the problem. And it says here, despite a reputation for using healthy, fresh ingredients, Chipotle's menu is limited to king-size burritos, overstuffed tacos, and gigantic salads, all of which lead to humongous waistlines. And they say there's only two ways to make Chipotle's healthy enough to eat. And that is 86 the rice and tortilla and request your meat, vegetables, and beans served in a bowl. Or bring a friend and you each eat half. So that's the only way Chipotle is good for you, apparently.
Boring. No rice.
I know.
No tortilla.
How about the worst kids meal? You would think that would be McDonald's. But no, it isn't. Yeah. It's actually Macaroni Grill, which, by the way, we love Macaroni Grill. Macaroni Grill's double macaroni and cheese. And it is 1,200 calories and 62 grams of fat. And it says it's like feeding your kid 1.5 boxes of Kraft mac and cheese.
Oh, my gosh. That's disgusting.
And I love
how many grams of fat?
It's 62 grams of fat. And by the way, there's 3,400 milligrams of sodium in that, too.
But you're supposed to have, like, a 1,500 calorie a day intake anyway, you know, for, like, somebody that's healthy. And that is one meal. That's one mac and cheese. Oh, gross. Okay?
All right. And, Jennifer, check the top of the show notes. I just put the refresher page. At the top of the show notes, I put the link in there so you can post it on Facebook. The worst sandwich, Quiznos, classic Italian. See, Quiznos, you know, the other one, Subway, is known for you can lose weight at Subway, right? That's the whole, what was his name? Jared. The whole Jared thing. Well, apparently Quiznos ain't so good because Quiznos classic Italian comes in at 1,400 calories.
Ew.
They say a large homemade sandwich would more likely provide about 500 calories. So you're tripling your calorie content with a Quiznos sandwich as opposed to just making a big one at home, which I thought was interesting. And they say the way
Quiznos,
to solve it... Yeah, go ahead.
They smother everything in that guacamole and that Italian oil dressing and all that. So, yeah, it can't be good for you.
Well, and that's what they say. They say cut out the dressings and order a small, get the half size. By the way, that's all I can eat. I can't get the 12-inch. I always get the 6-inch. But I do like Subway, by the way. Worst salad. Are you ready for this? And I don't know if you have these. It's a restaurant called On the Border. Do you have
that? Yes, we do.
Okay. There must be a Southwest thing, I think. On the Border Grand Taco Salad with Taco Beef comes in at 1,500 calories with 102 grams of fat.
Oh, my God. 102 grams of fat for a salad? Okay,
yeah, get
first
this.
Of all, they this... must not be using the lean beef.
Or the lean cheese. This isn't an anomaly. It says five different on-the-border salads on the menu contain more than 1,100 calories.
Oh my gosh.
What the point that they're making is they advertise it as a salad, so you automatically think it's just healthy, you know? Now, they say, they get this, the sizzling chicken fajita salad is the one to choose because it supplies an acceptable 760 calories. But then it says, remember to choose a non-caloric beverage such as water or unsweetened iced tea. And I know, I drink a lot of iced tea, and that's fattening, too. Okay,
oh,
the
God.
Worst burger is Carl Jr.'s Double $6 Burger, and that comes in at 1,500
gross.
Calories of fat. I think that one's pretty okay. self-explanatory. The worst steak at number 11 is Lone Star 20-ounce T-bone. 20-ounce T-bone. No wonder. It's 20 ounces, people. That's a lot.
Hello.
By the way,
when you go there, you just say, hi, can I order the heart attack right now? Is that, okay, to the T-bone? Okay, that'd be great. Thank you. Bring that on out. I want to die.
They're so good. And if you add a baked potato and a signature wedge salad, it's 2,700 calories.
Oh, God.
Number 10. Oh, you're going to love this one because this is going to make you hungry. You're even going to love this one. How about a Bob Evans caramel banana pecan cream stuffed hotcake? Now, let me repeat that, people. Bob Evans caramel banana pecan cream. Four delicious things in itself. Caramel, banana, pecan, and cream. But then you stuff it in a hot cake. Oh, my God. That doesn't
Bad for you. Bad for you, Glenn. Stay away from
By the way, it has 1,600 calories. They say 5 Egg McMuffins yield the same calories as this breakfast. From Bob
Good
Evans.
Lord.
Dessert. Chili's. The restaurant. Chili's chocolate chip paradise pie with vanilla ice cream, which I think Jennifer and I have had. It is absolutely out of this world. And it's really good for you, too. It only has 1,600 calories in the dessert.
Oh, my God. Oh, gross.
By the way, that's equivalent to 3 Big Macs. Just thought I'd say that. But then what they say to do at these chain restaurants now is most of them have those shots, the dessert shots. Where you can get it comes in actually like a little shot glass. Remember the little shots? Well, those only have 310 calories. So they say get yourself one shot.
Just one.
One is
four.
310 calories. Yeah. And a lot of these restaurants serve them three. You can buy three shots and get, you know, a sampler. How about the worst Chinese? P.F. Chang's pork lo mein, coming in at almost 2,000 calories. And just listen to this. The fat in this dish alone provides more than 1,100 calories, and you'd have to eat almost 5 servings of pasta to match the number of carbohydrates it contains. There you go. And they say that what you should get at Chinese restaurants is mugu gai pan, ginger chicken, and broccoli, one of those two because they only each come in at about 500 calories.
Yeah, Chinese food just doesn't scream healthy at all, so pretty much avoid it.
Yeah, when you see, you know, they're mostly skinny. So how does that happen?
Now because they bicycle everywhere.
Okay. Oh, okay, here we go. Another Chili's. Chili's honey chipotle crispers with chipotle sauce. 2,000 calories for chicken strips.
Yeah, fried chicken, people. If you fry anything, it's going to be bad for you. So if you're going to a restaurant and you're thinking healthy and you order fried food, yeah, you need a little bit of a new education.
You know what the hottest thing? You know how fried things are becoming very popular at fairs and festivals? How they have fried Twinkies and fried, you know, Milky Ways and stuff? Well, the hottest thing this year at the festivals that have started in California is fried Kool-Aid. The guy actually mixes Kool-Aid mix in the dough and makes these little dough balls that are sort of like the donut holes that you'd find at Dunkin' Donuts. But he mixes Kool-Aid mix in with them, and he said he is selling 10 times the number of those than any new product he's ever brought to the fair. He sells 2,000 to 3,000 a day of fried Kool-Aid.
Wow. That's crazy.
Okay, number 6. Worst fish entree, on the border, fish tacos with rice and beans, coming in at 2,100 calories. Perhaps they call it the most misleading named dish in America. A dozen crunchy tacos from Taco Bell will give you fewer calories than this dish.
That is like my husband's favorite food from on the border.
Is that right?
Fish tacos. Yeah. How many grams of fat? I got to.
130 grams of fat and 4,700 milligrams of sodium.
Oh, my gosh.
He's not going to fit in his flight suit if he eats those for lunch every day.
I know. He can't have it anymore. I'm going to tell him. Fish tacos from On the Border. I'm writing this down.
Oh, he's going to hate me. Hey, the worst pizza is Uno Chicago Grill. Chicago classic deep dish pizza. And boy, are they damn good, too. Ooh. 2,300 calories. And this is a personal pizza, personal-sized pizza. By the way, get this. Downing this personal pizza is equivalent to eating 18 slices of Domino's thin crust pizza.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. It's the bread, I guess. So much bread,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, there's a lot of bread on there. And number four, worst pasta, Macaroni Grill. Again, spaghetti and meatballs with meat sauce. Just the spaghetti and meatballs with meat sauce. 2,500 calories. It satisfies your caloric requirements for a day and a half.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. Number three is nachos. Worst nachos, On the Border stacked border nachos. On the Border really isn't doing well here.
I'm not going there anymore.
2,700 calories for the nachos. And they say the only way you should ever consider eating these is if you're rolling in with a crew of eight and you split them.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, when you go to a Mexican restaurant, too, it's like you forget that you just ate 4 pounds of chips and salsa.
That's right.
Not that the salsa is bad, but the chips are kind of awful for you. So then you eat that, then you get some cheese-covered dish. Yeah, there's no way that anything Mexican could be healthy.
All right, number two, you're right. It's not Outback's Bloomin' Onion. It's Chili's Awesome Blossom Onion. And that is running in at 2,800 calories. And pretty much they just said, no luck. If you're eating it, you're getting fat. And the worst food in America, and I think Jennifer and I have actually eaten these once. The worst food in America, drum roll, is Outback Steakhouse Aussie cheese fries with ranch dressing. It's their appetizer. Guess this comes in at 3,000 calories with 182 grams of fat.
Oh, my God.
Follow it up with a steak and sides and a dessert, and you'll break 3,500 calories for your meal.
Oh, my gosh. They need to be more responsible about publishing these things on the menu. How many people have no idea? I mean, obviously, cheese fries and ranch dressing is not going to be the healthiest choice, but I never would have guessed 182 grams of fat.
Now guess what my favorite food in the whole world is? Cheese fries. I just love cheese fries.
Yeah.
Just love cheese fries. They're so good.
Yeah, that's bad.
All right, that's my list. There's the 20. But, Jennifer, I don't know if you found that link, Jennifer, and posted that up there. But, yes, she did. So there you go. And, apparently we're making Aaron hungry, she said.
Me too.
And I'm kind of hungry now, too.
I'm starving.
Lunch?
I want some cheese fries.
He wants to go to Chili's for lunch, or what was that one that you have? On the border. On the border.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break for our song, come back for our reading of Black Beauty, and then on to, oh, my God, I just looked at what the thing was today.
Castration, baby.
Brain surgery.
Brain surgery.
All right, all the guys in the audience have my permission to actually leave the show at 10 o'clock. Because looks like the women are all going to be gloating over castrating us boys. That looks like what it's going to be. And on that note, I just closed my eyes, picked a song today, and this is what it came up with.
You better look down that road before you get on. Turn around, take one last look behind. Hey, pick up a little dirt, run it through your hands, then carve your favorite memories in your mind. 'Cause all you've ever dreamed of was riding the rodeo. Before you learn to hold on, you gotta learn to let go. You gotta learn that your time in the saddle ain't as rough as life in between. There for you to straddle, and you can't change horses in the middle of your dream. soon be gone. But take time, study your back trail. 'Cause what you've learned today may help tomorrow, but leaving's the only way to tell. Well, you can't put a price tag on the fun and rodeo, but you don't get a free ride, you'll pay as you go.
That is Dan Roberts. Of course, oldbootsmusic.com is his website. That's Can't Change Horses. I love his songs. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. I'm Jamie Jennings with Glenn the Geek, and thank you so much for back on track bringing us today's show.
Are you ready?
Hit the button. Go.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Chapter 13, The Devil's Trademark. One day when John and I had been out on some business of our master's and we were returning gently on a long straight road, at some distance we saw a boy trying to leap a pony over a gate. The pony would not take the leap and the boy cut him with the whip, but he only turned off to one side. He whipped him again, but the pony turned off to the other side. Then the boy got off and gave him a hard thrashing, knocking him about the head. Then he got up again, tried to make him leap the gate, kicking him all the time shamefully, but the pony still refused. When we were nearly at the spot, the pony put down his head, threw up his heels, and sent the boy neatly over into a broad, quick-set hedge. With the rein dangling from his head, he set off home for the full gallop. John laughed out quite loud. Serves him right, he said. Oh, cried the boy. I say, come and help me out. Thank you, said John. I think you're quite in the right place. Maybe a little scratching will teach you not to leap a pony over a gate that's too high for him. And with that, John rode off. It may be, he said to himself, that the young fellow is a liar as well as a cruel one. We'll just go home by Farmer Bushby's Beauty and see if anybody wants to know, and you and I can tell him. So we turned off to the right and soon came up to the stackyard within sight of the house. The farmer was hurrying out into the road, and his wife was standing at the gate looking very frightened. Have you seen my boy? Said Mr. Bushby as we came up. He went out about an hour ago on my black pony, and the creature has just come back without a rider. I should think, sir, said John, that he had better be without a rider unless he can be ridden properly. What do you mean, said the farmer? Well, sir, I saw your son whipping and kicking and knocking about that good little pony shamefully because he would not leap a gate that was way too high for him. The pony behaved well, sir, and showed no bites, but at last he just threw up his heels and tipped the young gentleman into the thorn hedge. He wanted me to help him out, but I hope you will excuse me, sir. I did not feel inclined to do so. There's no bones broken, sir, and I'll only get a few scratches. I love horses, and it roils me to see them badly used. It's just plain bad to aggravate an animal till he uses his heels, and the first time is not always the last. During this time, the mother began to cry, Oh, my poor Bill, I must go meet him. He must be hurt. You'd better go into the house, wife, said the farmer. Bill wants a lesson about this, and I must see that he gets it. This is not the first time nor the second that he has ill-used that pony, and I shall stop it. I am much obliged to you, Manly. Good evening. So we went on, John chuckling all the way home, and then he told James about it, who laughed and said, Serves him right. I knew that boy at school, and he took great airs on himself because he was a farmer's son. He used to swagger about and bully the little boys. Of course, we elder ones would not have anyone of that, any of that nonsense and let him know that in school, the playground farmer's sons and laborer's sons are just alike. Well, I remember one day just before afternoon school, I found them at the large window catching flies and pulling off their wings. He did not see me, and I gave him a box on the ears that laid him sprawling on the floor. Well, angry as I was almost frightened the way he roared and bellowed in such a style. The boys rushed in from the playground, and the master ran in from the road to see who was being murdered. Of course, I said fair and square at once what I had done and why. Then I showed the master the poor flies, some crushed and some crawling about helpless, and I showed him the wings on the windowsill. I never saw him so angry before, but his bill was still howling and whining like the coward that he was. He did not give him any more punishment of that kind, but did set him up on a stool for the rest of the afternoon and said that he should not go out to play for a week. Then he talked to all the boys very seriously about cruelty and said how hard-hearted and cowardly it was to hurt the weak and helpless. But what stuck in my mind was this. He said that cruelty was the devil's own trademark, and if we saw anyone who took pleasure in cruelty, we might know who he belonged to, for the devil was a murderer from the beginning and a tormentor until the end. On the other hand, when we saw people who loved their neighbors and were kind to man and beast, we might know that that was God's mark, for God is love. Your master never taught you a truer thing, said John. There's no religion without love, and people may talk as much as they like about their religion, but if it doesn't teach them to be good and kind to man and beast, then it is all a sham, James, and I won't stand for it when things come to be turned inside out, and they put you down for what you are. And that was chapter 13. Up next tomorrow, chapter 14, James Howard. And do we have our next guest on the line, Glenn?
Well, Christy is on the line. You want to say hi to? Well, should we play their music, or let's get Christy on here first? Christy.
We always love the jingle. You should always play the jingle.
Okay. Well, I know you'd like to say hi to us before we play the jingle. And by the way, I will be leaving during this portion, listen. I grant permission to all our male listeners, of which we're learning there are probably more than female listeners in this particular show, that you have permission to leave and not listen to thehorse.com today because they're just out to torture us.
Stay right here
to live up to our reputation.
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and Chrissy's attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
Christy, I'm going to tell you why the guys need to stick around. It is because this is very important. It is a part of owning a horse. It is a part of being a horse husband. You might have, your wife might have a horse castrated, and by God, you need to learn how to take care of it and find
out
about it.
Is there a chapter on this in Black Beauty? There must be a whole chapter on how cruel this is in Black Beauty.
Well, I'm sure that when we come across it, you won't be paying attention anyway, so you might as well pay attention today.
This is go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you go. I'm done. That was enough.
I just want to say that if I can't make Glenn lose his lunch with talking about castration, then you probably just need to find another health person, because this is the perfect topic to make Glenn run away from lunch. Don't you think?
And we just got really hungry, too, after listening to a half an hour talk about the worst foods in America, which are all really good.
And now I'm just trying to fix that for you, right?
Well, yeah, now you'll solve the problem for everybody.
It's the yin and yang, the bell.
There you go. And before we get started, I do want to give a shout-out to Tina and Ada, whom I just met at the AHP seminar in San Diego. We had so much fun, and you're going to get a kick out of this. So I sit down next to Tina at lunch and just randomly sit down next to her, meet her, introduce myself. She says, I really want to meet that Chrissy West girl from The Horse. I'm sitting right in front of her going, what's up? Skydiver. I just thought it was awesome. So, hey, Tina, it was great to meet you. I just wanted to throw that out there.
How
did she know about you?
Well, from the show.
Oh, really?
Oh, you didn't
well, you
did.
You left that part out.
I'm sorry. I thought when I threw out that I was a skydiver that was understood. Apologies. Awesome. Yeah, she knew me from the show. She said she always listens to the show, and I just thought that was great. So,
yay.
It was a lot of fun.
That's always fun when that happens.
It is fun. I'm sure it happens a whole lot more often to you than it does to me. So, we did want to talk about castration today for a couple of reasons. One, we want to make one lose his lunch. Two, as Jamie was saying, it is extremely important. You may have to deal with these horses, and I think these days with we've got an unwanted horses asked about live event tonight. So this is kind of in the forefront of our minds. And a lot of people out there are starting to adopt horses that may not have been gelded and, you know, are maybe dealing with castrations that they normally may not have if they were just buying a riding horse or whatnot. So Erin has a couple of stories on this as well. Erin, would you like to share? I hope she's on the line by now.
Yes, I've been on the line the whole time. The classic that Christy just mentioned is that people are rescuing horses and their stallions. And that's why they're rescuing them, is because people have been educated enough on castrations, don't have the money for castrations or whatever the reason, breed babies, and the babies grow up to be stallions. So I actually got one lady, and, you know, my heart goes out to Heather. She's done such a great job of adopting two horses back-to-back, both stallions that were euthanized at the local animal control, and got a castration done on them. One she actually did just this past Monday, and one 2 weeks previous that Monday. And, you know, she's going to give them a good home, and she was, you know, savvy enough to know that the castration is going to be necessary to have both of them, but in fact have one reasonable horse in her yard.
Well, I don't think that there's any reason at all that a person that does not own a breeding facility should own a stallion. You have, first of all, the horse's life is so much more miserable. They have to be kept separate. They're completely tormented all the time, you know, and they can be more dangerous. And some places don't let you bring stallions. You can't always, you know, go to certain horse shows, or you can't always board at certain places when you have a stallion. So it makes your life and the horse's life a lot easier when you do have them castrated. I mean, why keep a non-breeding stallion a stallion?
I can't come up with a good reason either.
I think it was very well said. And Christy and I were discussing the show last night, and she said that these are one of the surgeries she hasn't seen that often, and it's mostly because she's kept her horses at boarding barns. You don't see stallions at boarding barns. So, you know, people who have stallions or are rescuing a stallion or purchasing one, and they think they're going to take it to those barns, are going to be greatly astonished at the fact that stallions may not even be allowed at a boarding barn, let alone have to have, you know, extra care, or maybe even cost more to board one.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah,
and, you know, you always have those exceptions that prove the rule. You know, the stallion that's never been bred, and he might as well just be a kid's pony for all of his behavior, but they really are the exception rather than the rule, as wonderful as they are.
Dr. Jones, you're really breaking up on us today. Are you in a bad spot?
I might be. Let me see if I can get to a better phone, maybe. That might be
okay.
My better.
I mean, I hate to ruin
apology.
This enthralling conversation about castration. But
you know, hats off to you, Glenn, for pointing out the fact that you couldn't hear me that well for this wonderful conversation.
He just wants to make sure he gets every word that you're saying.
Hey, I have actually been on scene of a castration or two. I cannot say I was in charge of the head. I can't say that I paid any attention to the back end.
Well, at least you partaked into it, and that means that you're all for it, and I love that.
And you know what? Every castration that happens, you can hear all of the male of any species screaming at the same time. They're
not
all out there.
Not necessarily.
No?
I've done some for many male trainers, and the words, the next words out of their mouth once it's completed is, they're going to make a better gelding than a stuff.
Yeah, like the word should be, thank God. Brain surgery has been completed. We are going to be able to move on with our life. You know, I Dr. Jones, I had to neuter my puppy. He was 6 months old. On his 6 month birthday, I had that sucker in the vet clinic. I'm like, please take him off. I can't take it anymore.
Absolutely. I mean, as a kid, we were always getting off the school bus because we'd see our dog roaming the neighborhood because he was intact. And I'm like, Mom, why didn't somebody ever suggest castration? She said the vet never did to her, and she never thought about it. That, you know, it was back in the old days, I guess, where they didn't really push it as much. And I'm thinking that was ridiculous. The poor dog wanted to jump the fence and went looking for love as often as he was. You know, we could have kept him in his fence and been in a safe environment. Thank God he never got hit. But, I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
Well, listen. So obviously castration is incredibly important for the life of the horse, the life of the owner, the boarding facility, the rider. But, you know, Dr. Jones, this probably leads you into your next thing. I worked at a vet clinic where one vet did every castration standing, and the other vet laid every single one of them down. Do you have a preference?
I do all mine down. I prefer to keep my face together. But I have numerous friends that do them standing because they say that it's a quicker, they get better clamping, lots of good positives to it doing it standing, but there's a lot of good positives doing down. So it is going to be veterinary preference. And just make sure that when you go into it and you have always had yours done standing and you prefer to have it done standing, make sure you ask your veterinarian, are you comfortable with doing it standing? I prefer to have it done standing. If not, can you recommend somebody? And the same with doing in down type thing.
For sure. And there is actually another technique that was brought up at the 2005 AAEP meeting. And I guess I'll start this one out with a question for Glenn. Glenn, you're still here, right?
Yeah, I'm still here. By the way, are rubber bands out nowadays? Is that?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Lambs, gotcha. About the only place I ever hear about it anymore is they do it on lambs.
Okay. Just checking.
Okay, so my question for Glenn is, can you guess what, what piece of home improvement equipment can actually be used to help castrate a horse?
A nutcracker.
Oh, my goodness, that needs to be put on Facebook today.
Yes, please do.
That's my first thought, sorry.
Awesome.
Gross.
Nice try.
And we didn't have that set up either. That was pretty good.
I know. That was great. So this is why you have this awesome show. So the correct answer would actually be a battery-operated drill.
Wow, that's worse than a nutcracker.
Ew.
God. Well, you do drill now?
Yeah. There is a technique. It's called the Henderson drill. It's a emasculator. It does the same thing as the old-fashioned hand ones.
Okay,
and it does a cleaner.
Emasculator is bad. If it's called an emasculator, it can't be good.
It's quicker, cleaner, less swelling post-op, but it does have a learning curve to it. So I wouldn't recommend that a veterinarian goes out and buys it and the next day thinks that they're going to be proficient at it. It will take a few probably castrations to get the handle of it. But it's quick. It's so easy. It has less trauma to the tissue, believe it or not. It's a lot less swelling. Dr. Merriam was on talking about his seminar project a few months back, and he uses it religiously down in the Dominican Republic for all of his castration work he does down there for them. And he absolutely loves his. He uses it at home, of course, too.
Explain it again exactly what happens with the drill.
Well, basically, there's just a piece on the end of the drill that's wrapped around the cord and does the clamping and castrating. And I'm trying to be very polite and gentle about this, but it basically kind of rips it and twists it and cauterizes it.
There went lunch.
I tried to be as gentle as I could, Glenn. I really did.
Good job, Eric.
Dripping and twisting is not gentle, Doctor.
That's got to be in Black Beauty.
Well, the funny thing is I have to tell a little side comment on this. I will probably, unfortunately, never have that piece of machinery in my practice. And that's because a very well-known reproduction specialist, female, that my husband and I are friends with, had it in her hands as we were walking by, my husband and I walking by the trade show at AAP, proceeded to turn around and chase my husband down the alleyway with it. He has restricted me from keeping that or buying and purchasing that piece of equipment.
It was quite the topic of discussion that year at AAP. Especially
I mean, it had a crowd. That had a crowd around it, like you wouldn't believe.
That's
we are
awesome.
Sick people. We are sick.
Vets are sick.
And I think, well, you know, it's a method that people have found some benefits from, like Aaron said, less swelling and whatnot. So
quicker. It's very quick.
Quicker.
The big thing is the learning curve. You got to have, a few hours using it to know that you've got it handled quite well without causing excessive trauma.
Oh, and those poor horses you're practicing on and you don't get it quite right.
Well, there's plenty of them out there, the Bureau of Land Management.
Yeah, you practice on the Mustangs. There you go, poor
population
Mustangs.
Control.
Like, they didn't get it. Like, they don't have it bad enough over there. People rounding them up with helicopters. Good Lord, now you're going to rip their chesticles off. Practice.
No, I think there's, I'm sure you can find a friend that will help you out. I know Dr. Merriam's always offered up for me and friends of mine to come up to his practice and use it on his or watch them use it. And so I'm sure you'll find a veterinarian that's got one and get a few tries on theirs and then purchase your own.
All right,
well,
next.
And you know, I've been reading a little bit about Dr. Jones, the free castration clinics that people have been doing. I think they even had one at the Kentucky Horse Park where bring your horse, well, castrate it, and no problem, done.
Yes, AAP is promoting that pretty heavily because we have this serious unwanted horse problem, and we're just trying to keep the population control down. And I hate to tell you guys, but the beautiful story of Black Beauty kind of gets ingrained into some people's heads, and they get themselves a black stallion, and they've got themselves a Black Beauty.
No, and they have their Walter Farley's black stallion, Black Beauty, is a gelding.
Well, that's what they're thinking is they've got themselves a black stallion, and Black Beauty seems to come to mind. I'm just telling you from what I hear from clients. So I know, and I'm glad you've corrected that openly on the radio, but people think that they've got themselves a storybook horse.
Oh, boy. Crazy people.
Yeah. So when you get to that chapter, make sure you emphasize that the castration was a good thing if you haven't gotten to that chapter yet.
Okay. Is there anything else on castration we need to know?
Yeah, we had a couple of things. We wanted just to run down a couple of points real quick, such as what's the best age, some other considerations for a safe environment.
55.
In which you castrate. 55.
Horse
and
horse
how
years.
Old are you, Glenn?
I'm not there yet.
No, it's getting close.
Are you adding this to the calendar?
Mine doesn't go out that far.
Most people do the castrations when the babies are a year old. They've gone through the stress of weaning process, and they've got a band of horses that they can go out together with. They don't have the hormone influx going on that they're mounting other fillies out there in the pasture, so they can be turned out with the fillies as well. So you castrate them, you put them out in the field with a bunch of other babies, and they help work themselves. It's usually a good scenario. Thoroughbred people do that a lot. And some of the big herd farms will do that, quarter horse as well. I've done them as old as 16. They get a little bit more difficult as you get up in age. There's a tendency for the cord to break easily. It doesn't have an elasticity that it does when they're younger. There is extra tissue that can capture a nice little pocket of serum that becomes pus. So you got to put them on antibiotics when they're usually older candidates. There's just more things to look into. So it's always best to do it around that year of age. I've done it as young as 4 months, and the horse was still on mom. And the client decided to ride mom and let the baby chase mom, and that gave the baby exercise to decrease swelling post-op. And
Because you don't want stall rest or anything. They have to actually get out there and move to keep him, which would be opposite of what we horse people want to do. Oh, my God, he's got a big cut. Like, he's open, so we have to keep him in the stall and protect him. And then between the exercise and I think time of year, too, really makes a difference because of flies.
Absolutely. This time of year, you know, yes, I did do two of them, you know, back-to-back here, but I was happy to do them because she's doing them for a good reason, but flies are a concern at this time of year. So usually early spring is when they're done up north. We do them in January. That's really the best time around here is January. You get them all done. February, the flies aren't in. The weather's cool. They're a year old. They haven't come into the spring hormone season yet. So those are good times.
Yeah, and Jamie, thanks for bringing up the aftercare in terms of having the horse move around, because I think people don't, you know, normally when you have a surgery as a human, they stitch it, it stops bleeding, or maybe you've got a dressing on it for a little while and you don't worry about it. You're going to see some blood on the horse's legs. I mean, it's supposed to drain. That's the point of him moving around, is to have that stuff drain. It's not keep the swelling down, make sure that there's no infection, that everything's open and straight out. So I just wanted to bring that up.
We usually do.
That's a good point.
We recommend the quiet the first day just so the clots can set in nicely. Same thing as if you had wisdom teeth taken out. They want you to kind of relax, don't do too much because they want you to clot in the area where your wisdom teeth were. Same thing with horses. They want you to have the clot set. After that, they need to be worked every day. If you get too much swelling, you're going to capture too much serum. That makes a great environment for bacteria to live. Then you got yourself a pus pocket and abscess going on and or infection going on. The swelling also slows down the healing phase. So just the more you work them, the better off. And I believe the horse has a good video on that post-op care, the twice a day trotting, not a hand walk. It's got to be trotting for about 20 minutes at a time is what's really recommended to keep the swelling down.
Which just for sounds sure. like it shouldn't be like that. So now, Christy, do you guys actually have a video of a castration on thehorse.com?
We actually do. So if you head to our videos page.
Glenn can visit it over lunch.
Yes, you can. And you can pause it and play it again if you would like. And, you know, make sure you go over the surgical technique very carefully. This would not be the drill method on our
video. I used to like thehorse.com. I used to think you guys had a great website.
It's a very, very good video. Very educational.
Did they use the drill?
No,
they did not use the drill in this one.
Oh, good.
This is a down procedure where the horse was anesthetized. Aaron, I know we're running out of time, but just real quickly, can you talk to us a little bit about what kind of environment you want to provide? Most castrations are done at the farm, you know, as far as not having a stressful environment, not having a lot of stuff going on. Any other considerations?
Yes, those are two very important things. Also, too, the horse is laying down. It's under general anesthesia. So you have to remember, there's no EKG. There's no blood pressure monitor. So we're basically doing it all off of what we see clinically on the horse. If they are flicking their eye, their eye movement, their breath, how many breaths in the minute are they doing. So we're clinically just trying to keep them in a nice little plane of happiness while this is all going on, but not too deep. The environment you want to lay them on, you want to make sure there's no manure there. You want to make sure there's, in our area, no fire ant hills, no bad brush, as in sticky, thorny-type brush that you lay them down on, that kind of thing. Make sure it's a good firm surface that when they turn over on their belly to stand up, they can get their feet underneath them very easily. I like to do it in kind of a confined-in area, so a pasture would be best in case there is an issue where the horse gets startled when they get up and they get away from the handler. That occasionally happens, not very often. I'd say the time it happened to us was with a Mustang, so you can gather the behavior of that Mustang was pretty wild anyway as it was. The behavior prior to, you don't want to introduce a horse to a new barn, a new environment, and say, we're going to castrate you today because it's stressful to come into a new barn, a new environment. So you want to think about that. You know, don't want to do it when it's next to a sick horse or if it just got over a sickness. Make sure that it's, you know, not having some sort of snotty nose issue or diarrhea issues. So a good, healthy horse is the best time to do it.
Perfect. Well, I know we're running out of time. Thanks a bunch, Aaron, as always, and appreciate you letting us on to really make Glenn lose his lunch because that's just
my pleasure. But most of all,
actually, really gotten there today.
Yeah, but most of all, I'm just real emphatic about this needs to be done.
Yeah, I'm with you, girl. I think for every, not humans, obviously, but every man, you know, between horses and dogs and just any cats, there's just enough pet overpopulation. You know, pretty much in any pet. So everybody keep that in mind. It's very important to castrate your horses, neuter your dogs, neuter your cats, spay your cats and dogs, and take care of that. Be a responsible pet owner. Am I right
okay.
here, doctor?
Wait
yes,
a minute. Did
please.
Bob Barker just come into the room? I'm looking.
Don't get me started. I'll keep going. I'll end the show every day with that. I will. I'm going to start doing it.
Awesome. Yay.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Jones. It was actually informational, and I hung with it the whole time. And I wanted to tell Christy that Tina posted on our Facebook page, thanks for the shout-out. So she's listening this morning. So
there you go. I'm so glad. I figured she would be. She almost never misses a show. So
fantastic.
And thankfully, I know we're running off, but I just wanted to remind you guys that we do have that, that discussion, that Ask the Vet Live Q&A tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern on unwanted horses, problems and solutions. So we're going to talk about some things that people can do. Castration clinics, I'm sure, will be mentioned. So,
well, that is
you know,
an important
if you just
right
didn't
now,
get enough.
Sure. Well, you know what? I actually agree with the whole castration thing, and it is an important topic right now. It's something that we do have to worry about.
Yeah,
for sure. Well, thanks.
All
thank
right.
For
thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, and don't forget, before you go, Dr. Jones, what's your website address? We always forget to plug you at the end.
It's Florida, with the whole word spelled out, floridaequine.com, and I appreciate it, Glenn.
All right, floridaequine.com, best veterinarian in Florida right there. And,
thank you, Glenn.
But if she comes after you with a drill, run! Bye.
Bye.
Anybody comes after me with a drill, I'm going to run.
Okay,
hey,
give me two points. I had the best line of the day. Give me 2 points.
That was very funny.
That's pretty good.
That was very funny. And it was so logical. That's what was so funny about it. It's like a nutcracker would, I mean, come on. Gross. I don't even want to think about that anymore. I don't even have those, and mine hurt. Okay. Before we let everybody go, I got to tell them about the violin. Should I do that?
Yeah. You know, we were talking about Marilyn Monroe's dress selling for $5 million and all that cool memorabilia from the movies.
Yeah, this puts that to shame, though. Okay, so if you think of a violin and you know nothing about violins, you still recognize the name Stradivarius. It's been in movies and all that. Like, they made a whole movie, The Red Violin, about a Stradivarius violin. Well, there was a Stradivarius violin that was once owned by Lady Anne Blunt. She is the savior of the Arabian horse breed. And Lady Blunt sparked, where is she? She was the one who in the 1800s started importing Arabians from the desert to Crabbett Arabian Stud in England, because the breed was actually going to get extinct and they were endangered. So she's kind of the savior of the Arabian breed. Well, she had this Stradivarius violin that was made in 1721. And the person that owns it now decided to sell it. It was a Japanese auction house that sold the Stradivarius violin for one of their clients. There is no word on who bought the Stradivarius violin that was made, again, in 1721 in pristine, perfect condition. This violin was just sold for $15,894,000, Glenn. Almost $16 million for a Stradivarius violin.
Wow.
Now, the buyer was anonymous. However, you're not going to believe what they're doing with the money. All the proceeds from the $16 million sale of the violin are going to the Northeastern Japan Earthquake and Tsunami Relief Fund. $15 million, and they donate it to charity. So I want to give a good round of applause to the person who sold it, the person who bought it, and the Earthquake and Tsunami Relief Fund. You know, that's kind of our version. We have those too, so that's great. And Japan has really, really had a hard year. So congratulations to them and the person that bought it and the person that sold it. I think it's awesome. There's only 600 of these violins in existence, and this was, like, known to be the best one.
Wow, that's amazing. And what a good thing to do with the money, too. You know, there's still, we haven't heard much about it over here, but they're still having problems with those nuclear reactors. They think now that some of them have actually melted. They can't find the nuclear fuel in some of them because they have melted through the bottom of the reactor into the ground.
Okay.
So they're having a heck of a time over there, and it's still continuing, and we don't hear about it here because of all the trouble we've been having, but... So our thoughts out. I knew we have some listeners in Japan as well. So our thoughts are still out to those guys. And what a great story. And we hope the owner gets 15. By the way, don't play this thing and accidentally drop it. And you don't want to do the whole end of the concert, smash it on the stage thing. That's probably not good.
Oh, God.
Good.
Yeah, no,
don't do that. All right. What a fun show today. It was fun talking food and talking to Cowboy Chris and all his wild women chasing him across the country. You had him blushing. You turned it around on him and had him blushing today.
Oh,
sure,
you know, he had
to
be thinking that. I mean, everybody was thinking that. Like, chicks are riding with you for weeks at a time. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. I was
kind of,
but I didn't have the guts to say anything.
You got to keep it real, Glenn, because he's cute, and it's like, okay, cute cowboy going down the road, riding a charity for children's cancer, like raising money for them. Are you kidding me? There's women throwing underwear at him going down the street.
And not just Hooters women, other women too.
No, exactly, exactly.
Hey, if you want to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network, you can do that at horseradionetwork.com. The Western Show was out yesterday, and today the Tack and Habit Show comes out. That was a lot of fun. We talk about, and by the way, this is supposed to be good for you, we talk about jockey jerky. Jockey jerky. Yes, you heard correctly, jockey jerky on Tack and Habit today as it comes out a little bit later. So check that out. And also, obviously, you can follow all of our links and everything on Facebook, and we have show notes on the website where you can listen to the recorded versions of the show as well at horsesinthemorning.com.
Absolutely, and you can check them out. Please, everybody, we'll be back tomorrow morning. I would like to remind everybody to please spay, neuter, and castrate your pets. Hug your horses.
Okay,
have a
Bob.
Great day.
We'll see you later, Mr. Barker.